We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim, and welcome to another edition. And this is a big game edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. That's the number one thing on the docket this week, although men's basketball team's got a couple of games in New York City Thursday and Friday. Thursday's game against Duke, the number one team in the country, so that should be an interesting experience back there. And then on Friday against either Texas or Georgetown. So it's a really good tournament and a great opportunity for the men's basketball team, which is 4-0 to start the season, coming off a victory on Monday night against Prairie View A&M. Also, the women's basketball team kind of on the road for one game against San Diego State and then back home for a game. And congratulations to Charmin Smith for getting her first win as head coach of the women's basketball team on Sunday as they were able to pick up a victory over UC Riverside. But most of the focus this week is on the big game down at Stanford, the 122nd edition. And Coach Wilcox here to join us now to talk about that. First of all, let's go back and talk about the USC game just a little bit in that. That was a very physical game. I mean, right off the bat, Chris Brown goes out of the game. They lose Christian Rector on that play with a targeting call. Chase Garbers goes down. Ashton Davis. I mean, it was just attrition kind of a deal. But the USC wide receiving core, I mean, they came in and they played as advertised. Those guys are really, really good. And Pittman, St. Brown, and they just made plays all night long. And they were very difficult to stop.
Yeah. Obviously, the guys that got injured, we're trying to get them back as fast as possible. It was a physical game. Also, would like to note that Evan Tattersall is doing well and resting, and we're getting positive feedback on his injury, which was a scary one. But you know, as the game went, you know, the thing that stood out as we watched the tape and kind of saw it during the game were, you know, the contested plays that they won, and we just didn't win enough of those, you know, moment of truth type of plays, whether it was you know, finishing a block, a run, a throw, a catch on offense or on defense. Certainly the tackling and obviously the deep balls that showed showed up so big in that game, and you got to give them credit. They have some really talented guys, but we thought we would have a chance to perform better than that. We just didn't quite get it done.
Yeah, I know it was difficult after the game. It's tough because there's so much emotion and so much is put into that game, and it doesn't go the way that you want it to, but you got to bounce back this week because you play, and we've talked about this before, the most important game of the year is the next game, and so that's what we have. And we got the big game, so you get your rival game. It's not the last game of the season. That'll be at UCLA. And the Stanford team has been kind of hard to gauge, too. They've gone through similar injuries as we have in that they've had to play and start three different quarterbacks. I'm not sure who will get the start this week as we're taping for the podcast. They've had injuries throughout their lineup as well. So it's kind of a battle of attrition, but nobody really cares about that. Yeah. Nobody cares about how many guys you have ready to go and not go. It's the big game, and that's all that matters.
Absolutely right. And, you know, we came in, started practicing yesterday, and we're hoping to get some of those guys back off of injury, but we're going to get the guys ready to play who are available. And, guys were disappointed coming off a loss, but everybody understands the magnitude of this game, not only because it's the next game, but it's also the big game. And we appreciate the rivalry and how much it means to the schools and the fans and the alumni, and obviously our players and staff members, and everybody's full speed ahead this week.
Yeah, it's kind of a one-game season. I think a lot of coaches and players look at it when they look at rival games. It's kind of a season into itself, but yet there is so many other ramifications, not only to try to get the axe back, but both these teams are trying to become bowl eligible. You need one more win. They need to win their last two against Cal and against Notre Dame. So those ramifications are there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, getting the axe back, which we haven't had in a long time, is certainly, a goal of ours, as is getting to and winning a bowl game. And both those are on the table. And, we talk about that briefly, but more than anything, it's about the preparation that needs to take place this week, because Stanford is a good football team. They have good players. They've had injuries like we have. And if you look at the conference, throughout the conference, there's a ton of parity. And, it's kind of who stays healthy and who can play well that day. And we know it's going to be a battle. And I have a ton of respect for Coach Shaw and how he runs their program. And I know everybody's going to be excited to play in the big game.
Yeah, you mentioned the conference because it has been interesting this year in that it's now settled out where there are, I think, two teams that are maybe head and shoulders above everybody else, although USC did beat Utah earlier in the year. But those two teams, Oregon's already clinched the North. Utah is in the driver's seat and has to beat Colorado in their rival game as well. So the parity in this league, I mean, there have been years where, maybe you have one good team at the top. USC years ago was at the top, and then you'd filter down, and then there's always one or two teams that weren't very good at all. Well, that's not the case this year. I mean, everybody's capable of winning. I mean, Colorado's at the bottom of the South, but, I mean, they're explosive. They just beat Stanford a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at the records, I think somebody told me last week, I mean, everybody, there's nine teams within four and six, within basically two wins of each other. And there is a ton of parity. There's really good coaching and really good players in our conference. And it's about that weekend and that week and how you prepare and if you can play well enough. And we've had some good moments and some not so good, and we need to keep improving. And, again, the attitude of our players has been exceptional in terms of how they're approaching practice. And we're going to do everything in our power to have a great week of practice, to go out and play well and try to get the axe back and get ourselves into a bowl game.
And a lot of times it's matchups. I mean, you look at the teams playing against each other and they have favorable or disfavorable matchups. Stanford's been a little, as we mentioned, banged up, but the matchups, like, they beat Washington. I mean, they looked really good against the Huskies. They beat them at home. Washington's a good football team. Then they go and they lose. A couple of lose at Colorado, which was a bit of a surprise to some people, in a low-scoring game on a final-second field goal. And then this past week, again, you look at matchups. You guys did a terrific job against Washington State, held them to 20 points. And then Stanford goes up there, and they're certainly capable, and Washington State just explodes on them. So sometimes it's the matchups as well. As you look at, what are the key matchups this week in this game?
Yeah, that's a great question. And for us, offensively, we've been at our best when we have good balance, and that's being able to run the football and connect in the controlled passing game and then hit a couple shots, We're going to have to finish some of those third down plays that we didn't quite finish last week. But I see, us having the ability to, we got to get the run game going. And whether that's, you know, the running backs, maybe it's even perimeter screens, the quarterbacks potentially on some keepers or scrambles, that's going to be big. Defensively, yeah, you got to. It starts up front and limiting the run game, and then we gotta limit the explosive plays. And they got some really good weapons in Parkinson and the backs and the receivers and Wilson and obviously the quarterbacks who are very talented based on who we see. And both of them give you a different set of issues. So limiting the explosives and getting off the field on third down, which last week gave us issues. So that's kind of, you know, where it starts. And then in the end, the hidden field position on special teams, I think, will be big in this game.
Yeah, they've had to replace a kicker. I mean, that doesn't happen every year. Jet Toner, their kicker, went out mid-season, and he was very reliable. So there's a lot of interesting ramifications of some of these injuries. Davis Mills came in. He's kind of been the number two quarterback. KJ Costello's been injured in and out of the lineup. But Davis Mills, all he did at Washington State was set the Stanford record for passing yards in a game, beating Todd Husek's record, almost 500 yards. And so what do you see from him? Does their offense change with him, or do they try to still do the same things?
Similar concepts, but I'm sure there's things that he maybe leans on more with Davis. He's a very talented player, and as you mentioned, he threw for 500 yards, and he can also run the ball. Mm-hmm. And so he's done a really nice job. Obviously, we know KJ Costello and what his abilities are. He's been a really good player for them for a long time, so we don't exactly know who we're going to see. We have to prepare the best we can with the information we have. And then when we get in the game, we got to be ready to make some adjustments.
For David Shaw, for most of his career, Stanford has been offensively predicated on running the football, wearing you down, controlling the clock, and then hitting with play-action passes. They've had great backs over there and receivers. But the last year and a half or so, they seem to morph more into the passing component of the offense as being number one for them. Do you see that with this team right now, and what do you think might be the reason for that?
Well, I know they've had some injuries up front, but I also you see the run game and some of the zone schemes and some of the things that you've seen throughout the years, and maybe certain games they've leaned on different aspects of their offense, but they got talented runners. You know, the receivers with Parkinson and Weddington and Wilson, those guys are all very productive, and the quarterbacks throw accurate ball. So we'll see. You know, it all starts up front. We got to do a great job at the line of scrimmage where we're talking about run and or pass rush, and then limiting those explosive plays, whether it's in the run game or the pass game. That'll be key for us.
Speaking of the pass rush, Casey Tuhill has been around a while, and he flashes a lot. He's a rangy guy, has good leverage. He has been a thorn in the side of most offenses that they've played all year long.
Yeah, he's been really productive. You look at the negative plays, whether it's tackle for a loss, he's up there, you know, 9 or 10. Same with sacks, 7 or 8 sacks. And he just creates a lot of havoc. He plays very hard. He's always around the quarterback in the pass game. So he's done a really nice job, and we'll have to do a great job in protection, whether it's the one-on-ones or we're sliding two and chipping and those type of things.
Talk about all the festivities that go on and are associated with this game, because that's part of the, as Keith Jackson would say, the color in the pageantry of college football. And this one has some unique things, bonfires, and all virtually every day of the week something's going on. How much are you involved in these things, and how much are the players aware of what's going on too?
Well, we talk about it early in the week, and the gravity of a rivalry game and the big game, and how important that is. And I want them to appreciate that and enjoy it. You feel it on campus, and you feel it from the alumni and the fans. Absolutely. I know for us, we kind of stay in our bubble, and we work on football and meetings and practicing well. And then there's a couple things that happen Friday night here locally, but we'll be at the hotel. Some of our other players who aren't traveling, they'll be involved with that. And then, you know, game day will have its festivities. So they're aware of it, and I want them to enjoy this. But the key is that we go out and practice really well and use that energy the right way so we can go out and play well.
All right. I appreciate your time early in the week here. We will talk to you prior to the game on Saturday. We'll be on the air at noon with the tailgate show, and then 1 o'clock kickoff. It's the 122nd big game, the Bears against the Stanford Cardinal. Again, we appreciate it, and good luck this week.
Thanks. Go Bears.
Well, joining me now on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, is Ben Hochschrider, a local product who has finally kind of the prodigal son of Cal football this year, a young man who played at St. Mary's in high school, then went to Richmond, UT, Chattanooga, and this year was able to come back and join the Bears, and it's big game week as well. So a lot of things to talk about with Ben. Let's first of all just talk about your love and your passion for Cal goes way back, not only for you, but your family as well. You got so many members of your family went to Cal. I guess that's where you first got your love of Cal athletics.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for me, you know, ever since I was little, I've been going to Cal stuff. Cal's all I've known my whole life. My grandfather, he was a big Cal fan. I think he was class of 47.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, my father, he went to Cal too. So, you know, my mom, she got her master's from Cal. So, you know, Cal definitely rolls within the family. So, I mean, it's been a love of mine my whole life. And, you know, I would have never thought I'd get to, like, play for Cal. But, you know, it's been a dream come true this year.
Let's go back to when you were a little kid roaming the field after games and going to practices and getting into the locker room. I mean, what are your memories of those days?
I mean, those days were the best. I just remember, you know, after school coming with my friend, my dad and my friend Michael, we'd come over here and, you know, we'd watch the game and it'd be cold, you know, up in the stands. And, you know, that was back when you could take the, you know, there's the old stadium and it would be right on the field. Mm-hmm. And we'd go and, you know, there's some guys that would, you know, they'd give us some gloves or they'd come on the field after and play catch with us. And it was actually like Burl Toler, mm-hmm. and, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, would play catch. And, you know, at the time, you know, 7 year old, mm-hmm. you don't really know, you know, you don't understand, you know, to what extent those people mean to you. But, you know, they really, those guys instilled my love for football and especially Cal football, you know, because I would get to see them, you know, personally and on Mondays and Tuesdays, and then on Saturdays get to see them in front of thousands of people. So, you know, for a 7 year old, you know, it's surreal, and to watch them grow and do what they're doing, I mean, it's been crazy. And to now play for Burl, you know, on the same team, is that's a full circle effect for me.
No question. Now, my understanding with Aaron Rodgers, a couple of things. One, you kind of dressed up like him for a Halloween one time. And on another occasion, you actually kind of invited him to dinner, much to the surprise of your parents, right?
Yeah, I just remember this was, you know, when we were, so, you know, I wanted to be Aaron Rodgers for Halloween. This was before it was Aaron Rodgers, you know, what people know now. But, you know, I was him for Halloween, you know, because he was so good for me. You know, I really looked up to him a lot. And I think, you know, one day, you know, we had to wait till like after the season till he was done with his, you know, when he declared for the draft and everything. But I think I just invited him for dinner without telling my parents. And I don't think he said he was going to come, but he ended up not being able to come because I think he was in Cleveland for a pro day. I remember that. But I do remember getting to go to his pro day and missing school. And I remember, you know, Nick Saban was with the Jaguars, I think, at the time.
Could have been with the Dolphins.
Dolphins, actually. That's what it was. It was the Dolphins. And, you know, I didn't know who these people were, but I just remember after pro day, you know, I drew him a picture and, you know, I got to see him, you know, after pro day and while all these other coaches were waiting to see him. So it's been real cool.
You got first dibs then on Aaron Rodgers. That's a pretty cool deal there. There's not a whole lot of people that can say that. Have you seen him since?
Mm-hmm. I lost contact with him. You know, I don't think, I'm sure he remembers me.
Yeah.
You know, I've plenty of pictures with him, you know, and but I had lost contact. You know, you get new phones. I didn't have a phone when I was 7, so we lost contact. It would be obviously cool to reconnect, and it would be cool maybe see him.
They're going to be, I think they're going to be here this week, aren't they? The Packers and the 49ers are playing.
49ers. So, I mean, one day I definitely want to reconnect and just say thank you, you know, for everything he's done for me and, you know, inspired me. He probably doesn't know, you know, what it's led to and everything, but, you know, I definitely want to thank him for sure.
That's cool. So you play high school, you have a good high school career, but you know, Cal didn't come a calling at that point in time. You ended up going to Richmond. That's a long way to go. Go back east to play in Virginia.
Yep.
And then from there, go to Chattanooga. You had a good career at Chattanooga, got your degree at Chattanooga, and then decided that you wanted to continue playing at least for one more year. Tell us how it all turned out that you ended up being able to come back to Cal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, You know, I was able to get my degree from Chattanooga, and I absolutely love my experience at Chattanooga. And you know, as much as I love Cal, you know, Chattanooga's the, you know, that's gonna be my undergrad alma mater, and that's gonna be a place I always have, you know, so much love for, because you know they gave me the opportunities, you know that have led me to where I am today. But you know, when I decided to, you know, I was graduating and I wanted to pursue a master's. You know, I was looking at a lot of FCS schools. You know, they have this new transfer portal thing. So I, you know, I had some opportunities at a lot of FCS schools, and I had never really thought about the idea of walking on at a Pac-12 school. So you know, after a little bit, after a while, actually, you know, I got in contact with Coach Toler, who I knew, you know, I've known for my whole life. You know, we've stayed in contact over the years as he was bouncing around from colleges and stuff, coaching. And, you know, I was able to come here in the spring game. I was on spring break, so it was convenient. I go up the street. I got to go to the spring game and kind of, you know, they kind of talked to me, but I hadn't really thought about, you know, well, you know, we, you know, there wasn't a scholarship. So, I was thinking more of, you know, I want to go to a place, you know, FCS, mm-hmm. you know, where I had played before. And, you know, Burrow really, he talked to me. He was like, really think deeply about this. Like, you know, this is an opportunity for one to, you know, live out your dream and, you know, go to the number one public university in the world. So it took me actually a couple of days. And I remember thinking, I was in Tennessee one night and I had just was thinking about it. And I was like, wow. And I was like, this is, you know, everything I've ever dreamed of. And I have to take this opportunity. And I knew it was a risk for me, you know, knowing this was my last year and I was going to be going up a level where guys are bigger, faster, stronger. So it was definitely a huge, you know, step up and a risk for me. But, you know, I think about it every day, and it's the best decision, I mean, I've ever made, you know, to take that risk. And I'm so thankful for, you know, the opportunities that Coach Wilcox and Coach DeRuiter and, you know, Coach Browning and all the other coaching staff have given me thus far.
So you're at Chattanooga,
yep.
And to show your loyalty, your passion for California, you're fighting guys for the TV, the clicker, I suppose. Are we going to watch the Cal football game, you know, at 10:30 at night, or are we going to watch a game in the SEC? So how did that work out? Because you watch virtually every game.
It was tough. I mean, a lot of bus rides back. We would play earlier in the day, so, you know, we'd be on a bus ride back. And, we have TVs on the bus, and they all wanted to watch Alabama or Georgia or Tennessee. And I'd be like, play the Cal game. I think I got the Oregon-Cal game on this past year on the bus for about 10 minutes before they turn the channel. But, you know, I would always stay up for, you know, the games these past few years. You know, there was a Friday night in mm-hmm. October when we upset a big opponent, Washington State, and I was in the hotel before my game, and I stayed up a little too late to watch that. I felt it a little the next day. But, I mean, I've always, you know, loved watching Cal, and I would always rep Cal pretty hard, especially in SEC country, and most people don't know Cal as well as, you know, I did. So it was pretty fun just kind of being that underdog.
Well, it had to be pretty cool for you to go back to Ole Miss and win back there, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it was awesome. I had a lot of classmates come from Chattanooga and, you know, come visit me. And, you know, all the relationships that I got to establish down in Tennessee, it was really cool for me to, you know, get back there and see a lot of the people that I know and love and, you know, were part of my journey. So it was awesome to be in the SEC. And, you know, because I got to tell my teammates, look, we got to beat, you know, we hang with the SEC out here. So.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so now here we are. You get a scholarship, you know, before the season starts, which is awesome. That helps in so many ways. And it shows the appreciation that the team has for what you've done in a short period of time. I know the guys all rave about you, and the coaches certainly do. You've had a good year. And here we are now. We're in week number 11 of the football season, and we're ready for the big game in the Stanford Cardinal. You've been to many of those big games, including a few down at Stanford. Yeah. What are the emotions for someone like yourself that's been so involved and so Cal-oriented for so many years, going down there and trying to get a win on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, you know, I don't like the color red, and, you know, I don't speak that name of that school. You know, I'm not a fan, to say the least, of that school. And, you know, I think for me, growing up and when I was first getting into Cal football, you know, Cal had Stanford's number. You know, they beat them a bunch of years in a row, and right around, you know, the Harbaugh years, you know, that team, they started winning. And, you know, so I haven't seen them beat them for a while. So for me, you know, knowing that, you know, this is, I think, year 10 for the opportunity to do it. I mean, it would be surreal for me to be a part of it because I've been hurting. I've been hurting for almost a decade, you know, not seeing the axe. So, I mean, I would love to help any way I can to, you know, get it back to Berkeley. And, you know, for me, it'd be a dream come true because some of my fondest memories here at Cal and here in Memorial, in the old Memorial, you know, is, you know, running down on the field after the Stanford game and, you know, hearing the band and everything. And it would be amazing to, you know, be a part of that. It's amazing to be a part of that rivalry, but, you know, get a win. I mean, that's, if people know, like, you know, that's what I want to do. You know, I think when I decided to come here, I think that's probably, you know, not that you want to circle games on your season, but that's probably the first thing I thought about. So, and my position coach last year from Chattanooga is actually quality control there. So I have a good relationship with him, and I was, you know, I texted him a few weeks back, you know, talking a little smack because, yeah. So it's going to be fun for that too.
It's interesting as we're talking about the big game in the background at Maxwell Family Field, playing the fight song, the Cal fight song. So it's almost like it was meant to be. One final thing, and then we'll let you go because I know you got to get back down and get to work and eat and all that stuff. After one of the things you want to do post athletic career is do your own nonprofit. Tell us about that. What you'd like to get accomplished with that?
You know, I mean, growing up here in the East Bay, you know, I was blessed with a lot of opportunities, you know, and a lot of the connections here at UC Berkeley, and, you know, you have the Silicon Valley, and you have so much, you know, opportunity and wealth. And, you know, at the same time here in the Bay Area, we have a lot of disparities. And growing up, I was able to see, you know, those disparities firsthand and how, you know, my own privileges, you know, whether it be, you know, racial, economic privileges, you know, a lot of me, some of the opportunities that I've gotten today. And at the same time, many of the people who I grew up with, you know, going in the same kindergarten class and riding the bus with the school, you know, have not gotten those opportunities due to some of the, you know, constraints that I've noticed in our society. And for me, I'm very passionate about, you know, creating a middle school program that, you know, I'm a strong believer, and that's the turning point of when kids, you know, start going down the right or wrong paths. And I think with the connections that I've been able to establish here at Cal and in the Bay Area, you know, I dream of having a middle school program that helps develop kids, you know, socially, mentally, and academically so that they can thrive in the high school level and, you know, hopefully push them along the way to high school so that they can, you know, go to college or get the opportunities that they deserve because, you know, they're in the backyard of, you know, so many great universities. And I think the connections there, I can bring kids and see, you know, Cal because there's kids, you know, 10 miles from here that don't even know what Cal is or and don't see themselves going there. And, you know, I want to change that narrative. So that's a big passion of mine that I, you know, really want to start working on. And, you know, start gaining those connections.
That's a great goal to have, and there's no doubt in our minds that you'll be successful in doing that. Hey, Ben, we appreciate it. Go down there and get the axe back, bring it back to Berkeley.
Definitely.
And then hopefully qualify for a bowl game as well and play a few more games.
Definitely. Go Bears. Always go Bears.
All right. Ben Huckschrider, we appreciate your time,
man.
Thank you very much. And of course,
a
reminder will be on the air of the pregame show beginning at noon. The Bears against the Stanford Cardinal, the 122nd big game. That wraps it up for this week on the podcast. We appreciate you listening. And of course, as always, go Bears.
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.